2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome in, Cougar Nation, to a post-game edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast and also Cougar Sports Saturday podcast here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, coming to you from Los Angeles, the site of BYU's 35-31 victory over the USC Trojans. And it did not go according to how maybe many people thought it would. But man, it was an entertaining football game between two of the best brands, I think, out west in college football. And the Cougars get it done and cap off a 10-win regular season. Those are hard to come by. Only 16 BYU teams all time have done it. And you can add the 2021 group to the mix. And the Cougars also conclude the season with a 5-0 record against the Pac-12 Conference. So this is some of my takeaways from the game as we get into this here on Cougar Tracks and Cougar Sports Saturday. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. It's also available on the KSL Sports app. I'll keep this quick because I'll admit I'm pretty tired. It's about 4 a.m. Pacific time right now. I'm still awake. I've tried to rewatch the game and get some additional intel and insight that maybe I might have missed in the live viewing. But I got to say, the Coliseum, it's one of my favorite venues. It's so cavernous. It's a huge setting for a college football game. It just feels like a primetime big stage. And it definitely was on Saturday night. And a ton of BYU fans showed up. And it made for a entertaining college football game with not much at stake. You know, BYU didn't have many of the things that they needed go their way to get into a New Year's Six Bowl. So really not much was on the line for BYU and USC other than the Trojans had a chance to maybe get to bowl eligibility, to keep those bowl eligibility hopes alive. But really it was just a exhibition game, and it turned out to be a good one. And it shows once again that, you know, how the Pac-12 conference never wanted BYU. It's beyond me. I mean, look at how many fans from BYU showed up to the Coliseum. That would have been happening every other year, but I digress. BYU got out to a pretty sizable lead toward the point where I thought, okay, the Cougars are going to roll to a victory. They were up 28-13 after the third quarter touchdown bomb from Jaren Hall to Keanu Hill, and at that point, I thought BYU is going to cruise to a victory. But credit to USC, they did not roll over and die. I honestly thought this USC team was going to lay over and just quit. I thought there was no urgency. I thought there was no desire, but they gave their best effort, and they put their best foot forward to try and knock off BYU. And I think that's one of the things that BYU can hold their head up high with this win. Yeah, USC's a 4-6 football team, but you got USC's best effort. There's been many a games this season where USC, you went away from that game and thought, did they even care? Did they even try? That was not in doubt on Saturday night at the Coliseum as you saw their secondary hitting hard with Isaac Taylor, Stewart, Chris Steele, guys that BYU once offered. It was kind of crazy to think of all the players on USC, like a Drake Jackson, Gary Bryant Jr., all these guys that BYU had offered at one point and had a little bit of visits to BYU were dotting the rosters of USC. USC still got dudes. They got more talent than I gave them credit for coming into this week, especially when they care, and they cared in this game because I think they wanted to also put out some good film for their next head coach. Like, hey, we went up against the number 13 ranked team in the country and showed quite well against BYU. But BYU stepped up, and they answered the bell when they needed it to. The defense was getting picked apart at times, but they ultimately dug in and got the stop needed to secure the victory. It didn't help that Jackson Dart and his receiver, Gary Bryant, didn't go to the sticks for that fourth down in the fourth quarter to basically end the football game in favor of BYU. But the defense got the stand that it needed, and that's all you can ask for. And there was other parts in the fourth quarter where BYU's defense back was against the wall, and they needed a stop. They got that key stop. The drive before BYU's offense took over to manufacture that game-winning drive. And I think what's also noteworthy from this game is that this was the first real come-from-behind victory for BYU in quite some time since, what, Tennessee? I mean, BYU in 2020 and this year has not had to pull out heroics. They've always been a team that's been in the lead, and they put the hammer down on teams in the fourth quarter. They closed the door shut. It hasn't been often where BYU needs a come-from-behind heroic to pull off a victory. I think that does well for BYU's confidence going forward in the future that, hey, when maybe adversity hits and things aren't going according to plan, you still got the personnel, you've got the ability to pull out a victory when the game's on the line. And Jaren Hall, not his best game. I thought some of his decision-making was a little bit forced, a little bit rushed, but still, 20 of 32, 63% completion rate, 276 yards, two TDs, two INTs, not the best situation there. It could have been three had it not been for a roughing the passer on Jaren Hall, but he comes away victorious. Tyler Allgeier, 21 carries, 111 yards, two touchdowns. He got banged up in that game. Like, they were hitting Tyler Allgeier hard. I consistently found myself with my binoculars in the Coliseum press box just watching Tyler Allgeier's every move to see what he's going to do. This was further evidence for Allgeier. He's got to move on to the NFL. Don't take any more shots to that body. I mean, this could be a deal, too, if BYU does, in fact, go to the Independence Bowl and it's just a Marshall or it's a UTEP. Hopefully, maybe there's some moving pieces to get a better team involved. But if it's some scrub Conference USA team, does Tyler Allgeier consider a bowl opt-out? It'd be a little bit surprising for a BYU guy, but... And I say that because BYU is just kind of this tight-knit family unit is what they, you know, the family culture. They always play for each other. It'd be a little bit surprising in that sense, but at the same time, when you're trying to get paid, you can't be taking these hits. And Kalani Sitake said in the postgame that Tyler Allgeier was spent, and that's why they turned to Jackson McChesney at the end, and McChesney got BYU that game-winning touchdown run. How about that? Jackson McChesney making an early case to be that next RB1 after Tyler Allgeier leaves. And I thought it was noteworthy, too, that they didn't turn to Lopini Katoa. They turned to the future in McChesney. And you saw that speed. You saw that power. McChesney's a good running back. Him and Miles Davis will be a good 1-2 running back tandem. I think Miles Davis might have a little bit higher ceiling, but man, Jackson McChesney's really good. I mean, coming out of high school, that guy was competing with Najee Harris in recruiting speed battles at 7-on-7 camps. I mean, Jackson McChesney is legit. He is a talented football player. And back in August, Aaron Roderick said the RB3 spot was going to be a key battle in camp. And going into, you know, Saturday night, I thought, the RB3 spot has done nothing for BYU this season. Well, it reared its face on Saturday night as Jackson McChesney gets his name called, and it became a valuable spot for BYU to turn to him, and he ultimately gets BYU the game-winning touchdown at the historic L.A. Memorial Coliseum. But so many players got banged up in this game. My goodness, Puka Nacua got banged up a couple times. Gosh, there were so many guys. Lopa Leotawa, Jacob Robinson, he left the game with a sling on his shoulder. Just so many players got injured in this BYU win, and the gap between the regular season finale and the bowl game comes at a much needed time for BYU because they are a banged up group. They are badly needing to get rested up and get healthy because they were crawling to the finish line. Think about this. BYU's defensive line on that final drive, there was about three or four plays consecutive where they had four defensive linemen in the game, and their defensive linemen were Blake Mangelson, Josh Larson, John Nilsen, and Fisher Jackson. I like all those guys, and I think they all have bright futures ahead of them at BYU, but think about how different that group looks compared to the one that manhandled Utah back in September. Injuries, attrition, it's happening to BYU with over the course of a tough physical schedule. BYU wearing down a little bit at the end, but they found a way to dig deep and get that victory. And Max Tooley, I thought, was brilliant in this game. I thought he had the best game of his BYU career on Saturday night. And it was much needed because Peyton Wilgar was out, Keenan Peely still out. BYU needed some big play from their linebackers, and they got that. So it was a huge game for BYU. The Cougars get it done, 35-31. I'll have more commentary, more breakdown from the win coming up here in the coming days. But for now, I'm going to wrap it up, head to bed, get ready for my flight tomorrow, and I'll catch you next time here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.